My name is Julie Turney, and this is the HR Sound Off podcast show, the show created for HR and business professionals to discuss pertinent topics and trends as it relates to our professions. We're going to have amazing conversations with HR professionals from all over the world, get to learn their origin stories, how did they get into this profession, what do they love about being here, and how they want to set the record straight on that one misconception that really drives them crazy about our profession. Are you ready? I'm ready. Then let's sound off. Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the HR Sound Off podcast show. My name is Julie Turney, and I am your host. How are you doing today? Wherever you are in the world, I hope that you're having a great day. Remember, the HR Sound Off podcast show is created by an HR professional for HR professionals, magnifying HR voices. Today, I get to magnify the voice of Nicholas Roberts. Hi, Nicholas. How are you doing?
Hey, Julie. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's a beautiful day. So let's start by telling our audience a little bit about who is Nicholas Roberts, how did you get into HR, and what are you up to now?
Who's Nicholas Roberts? It's always weird being on this side of the table when it comes to this thing.
I know, right? It's an HR thing.
It's so weird. I never get used to it. So who is Nicholas? Nicholas is a fun-loving guy who tries to enjoy life as much as possible and is just trying to leave his own little mark on this world, whether it be in Barbados or the world at large. Mm-hmm. In terms of how we got into HR, I always tell people it was not a linear journey. So when I left secondary school, taking me back about 15 or so years ago, HR wasn't something that I planned to get into originally. But a long story short, mm-hmm. When I left secondary school, my hopes were to get into nutrition. That didn't work out, so I pivoted to the next best thing, or my next best love at that time, which was cooking. So I went to Pomeroon and I did my associate's degree, and I worked in the hospitality sector for about 3 years or so, along with, like I said, doing my associate's degree. Mm-hmm. And when I left Pomeroon and through working in the hospitality sector, I realized, you know what, this necessarily may not be the best fit for me. So then I went to university and I did my undergrad in political science. And anyone that is aware of how you operate, if it is that you want to switch your program, you have to do it for the year. Because while I did political science, I realized that I wasn't good at it. I even had a lecturer that told me, Nicholas, you are horrible at political science. And I think that you need to, you know, find somebody else to do. Possibly, do your undergrad in hospitality mm-hmm. studies or something like that. So shout out to Dr. Broom. And I really didn't want to go back into hospitality. So I looked at the degree programs that UE was offering and I read through HR. And from how the course prospectus looked, I said, you know what, this seems interesting. And I applied to do the undergrad program in HRM, Human Resources Management. And I honestly just did it on a whim, like I said, based on how it read and what I saw on the internet. And it sounded like something that would be good. And from doing my first HR course, it was as if something went off a light bulb. And I was like, okay, this is something that I could potentially enjoy. Mm-hmm. And as I got further and further into my degree program, I really enjoyed the program and I really looked forward in getting into a career into HR.
Nice.
And I was fortunate enough that when I finished my last exam at UE, I started an internship literally next week at Anson McCall, my HR internship. And I mm-hmm. always say that I am blessed and fortunate in that regard, because I know people who did the same undergrad program at UE before and after me.
And we're not as fortunate.
They have never worked a day in HR because it's so hard. Wow. The field is so oversaturated and it's so hard to get into HR. Mm-hmm. So I guess the cards aligned for me, like I said, in that regard, because after I finished that internship, I was able to work at ANSA for a month. Mm-hmm. And they were doing some restructuring because I was the HR intern and then later on the HR admin assistant for mm-hmm. Standard distributors. At the time, Trademark was still under the ANSA brand.
Okay.
But they were going through some restructuring in the background mm-hmm. in terms of why they couldn't bring me on full time. Mm-hmm. And an opportunity popped up whilst I was there in terms of Ernst & Young. They were looking for a consultant, someone with, you know, with an HR background. And I applied for that role and I got through. And since then, I have been toggling between working in HR consulting or operational HR, what people know as everyday HR, whether it is that you work in an HR department. So that is my background in a nutshell in terms of how I got into the field. And like I said, it's been 10 years of ups and downs and trials and tribulations, but it has been a labor of love in terms of what I pour into this job and what I pour into this role, and even the work I currently do as the president of HRMAB, the HR Association of Barbados. So it's just been, like I said, a labor of love in terms of the work that I do within this profession.
Thank you so much for sharing your story, Nicholas. I was really intrigued to hear, how you really made this journey. But I didn't know you were a chef. I didn't know you liked to cook.
I like to cook, but I don't really do much cooking these days. So I know my mother asks herself, like, why did I spend all that money to send out boy to school and he hardly cooks these days? Like, even when I tell people that I have an associate degree, like I actually am trained in cooking and culinary arts, people get very excited. And like, oh, so you can cook? What was it? I hardly cook these days. So please don't get that excited. But yeah, it's still there. I can still cook really well. Like when I cook for people, they're surprised at how good I cook. Like even my friends make laughing sport at how often I don't cook at this point in time. When it comes to cooking and baking, I can do almost
I'm
anything for
baking too. Wow.
because the degree
Okay.
program was all encompassing.
All in
So
wow.
yeah, people don't know that you only don't do the cooking and the baking side of things, but there's also incidentally an HR element of the program. You do politics, you do management courses. So it's a very all-encompassing program. And even when I was there, I got a taste of HR and that type of stuff. And I think back then it was interesting to me, but it was only dots really only, like I said, aligned and connected when I was at UB and I was looking at programs. And I remembered that I did the HR program whilst I was doing the associate's degree. And like I said, it really aligned in terms of thinking, well, maybe this would be something that would be good for me. But saying all of that to say that the associate's degree program is very all-encompassing,
Extensive.
extensive. And then when I was looking for the program at UE, it could be dots connected in that regard.
Yeah, that's really good. It's nice to be multifaceted. I think that even though where you started and where you ended up are two completely different things, you always need cooking as a life skill, I think, right? I think it's good to know that you're able to take care of yourself, right? If one thing for sure, I think if you were lost on a desert island or stranded on a desert island, being able to cook will save your life.
Definitely,
Not HR.
definitely. You can't eat HR.
You can't eat HR.
You can't
You
eat
cannot
HR.
eat HR at all. So good for you, Nicholas. I really appreciated what you said about the lecturer who told you that you were bad at political science. Because I think sometimes, it's good to have that person in your ear that gives you honest, open feedback to make you introspect, because what you want to do and what you desire to do does not necessarily mean that's your calling. And I truly do believe that HR professionals have a calling. I think people who are in this space are called to this space. The people who are doing the really good work are really called to this space. And so there's a reason why you're here today. And all these years down the road that you're here today doing what you do. So you are now. One of your roles is that you are currently the president of the Human Resource Management Association of Barbados, which we know as HRMAP. So tell us a little bit how your journey into this role has been.
So incidentally, I mentioned that I started off within HR doing my internship at Answer.
Answer.
So incidentally, whilst I was doing that internship, my HR manager at the time, Alexia, she asked me if I heard about the association. I told her, no, I never heard about it. So she told me maybe you should join as a new practitioner, trying to develop within the field and trying to, make connections and that type of stuff. She encouraged me to join the association, and I did. And I've worked my way through the association in terms of sitting on various committees, helping out on various events, and now it has culminated in me being the president. And the journey has been, like I said, a labor of love because it's a voluntary association. Many people don't know that. We are not paid. There's only one
Right.
paid role within the association, and that is the admin assistant or the exec assistant, who mans or oversees the secretariat in terms of pushing out all of the content that everyone sees on social media, sending out, setting up events, that type of stuff, and she assists the exec in the background.
Right.
But in terms of all the work that any person that sits on the exec or any of the members do for the association, it is all voluntary. And that in itself is a full-time job, because everyone who volunteers their time to the association has a full-time job. Because I have
Sure.
a 9-to-5 job that I
Correct.
do, and then I still have the duties of president of HRMAP to do as well. So the association is just there, in essence, as would have been mentioned to me by Alexia at the time, to groom and cultivate young practitioners coming into the field to help them bridge the divide between the theory of EHR that you're taught at university, between the practicality of it, and just touching bases with those mature practitioners who have lived and breathed EHR and who have worked in the field for many years, and who can help with your life experiences and help you with your journey along the way. And it's also there for those more mature practitioners as well, who, sometimes need persons to reach out to bounce ideas off of, to have a conversation about HR policy or the HR landscape, what is going on in Barbados, or just have networking events. So the association is just there, like I said, to cultivate persons, whether they're in the beginning stages of their journey as an HR practitioner, or the more mature persons who have been there and done that, but just need someone, to lean on, or persons to lean on, a community of, in a sense, to lean on in that regard. So yeah, that is the purpose and the mandate of HRMAB in a nutshell, and just by extension, lending to the national landscape and the national discourse when it comes to EHR on a broader field and on a broader sector.
So a lot going on at HRMAB and really contributing to supporting HR professionals who are up and coming and providing them with the support that they need as they navigate their HR journeys. Amazing initiative. I see HRMAB also doing some really great things with trying to help with helping HR professionals on a broader scale. I saw recently you guys are in the process of developing a relationship with CIPD. And I see also that you guys have developed a relationship with the Academy to Innovate HR, which is one of my partners, to develop help with courses to develop HR professionals as well. So tell us a little bit about the purpose of making the connection with CIPD. I know most associations will affiliate themselves with, or with SHRM, right? I think some people have, a bit of both, but CIPD, tell me a little bit more. I have my own personal bias. I am a member of CIPD, but I am British and I respect to CIPD. I think they do really great work. But tell me what made you guys decide to connect with CIPD.
Sure. So when I took over the presidency, I identified, along with the Committee of Management, which is the wider executive team, we identified three pillars that we wanted to focus on. Because one of the qualms of the association is that we try to do too much at one time. So I said, you know what? For this year to 2 years that I am president, let's focus on three pillars. So one of the pillars is developing strategic partnerships. And the relationship with CAPD came about because of me being active as a president, through me being active on LinkedIn. A lady by the name of Marlene Oakes, she saw my profile on LinkedIn, and she reached out to me. And she said, because she said that I seemed like a young and active person within the HR field who was doing a lot, and she wanted to touch bases with me. So she was in Barbados late last year. She's a member of CIPD, and she's a member of one of their chapters in the UK, because based on, obviously, the UK is a very big place.
Yes,
She's a member of one of the chapters, and she just came and we had a conversation. She tried to understand what the association is all about, what are our objectives moving forward, and that type of stuff. And that is how the relationship developed, very organically, to be very honest. Like I said, me just being active on social media, LinkedIn, through my national profile, Through her just saying the work that I was doing on behalf of the association and the professional work that I was doing, we made that connection to see how it is that possibly HERMAB and CAPD could work together. And you're correct that most more practitioners here tend to more so lean towards Sherman. I've even had that conversation with CAPD. So it's just for us to see how it is now that we maybe could bring or bridge that divide between CAPD and Barbados. And not only from an HR standpoint, but culturally, how it is that things are done within the UK. Yes, obviously from a labor landscape and from a labor perspective, but also, how are things done there in the UK versus how things are done in Barbados? Because once upon a time, Barbados was called Little
Little
England.
Glen.
Yeah. So there's a connection there already. So just seeing how it is that we could work together to bring the cultural aspect of the UK along with the labor landscape of the UK to Barbados and vice versa, because the way that that HR is practiced there may be different from the way that HR is practiced here in Barbados. So yeah, that is how that relationship came about. And the objective is just, like I said, to develop a strategic partnership to see how it is that we could possibly work together to strengthen relationships and strategic ties, as well as to see how it is that we could do some HR stuff going forward, whether it be webinars, if possible, in-person seminars. HERMAB has its annual conference coming up. So if it is that we could have a speaker coming in from CAPD, and just looking to see how it is that they do things within the UK that maybe lives in Barbados and vice versa. So
Awesome. Well, I wish you every success with that. If you need any support, I am part of the Manchester chapter. Shout out to
excellent.
Manchester. So, if you need any support, just let me
Definitely.
know. Happy to support. So yes, you leaned in a little bit to the annual conference that is coming up. So I know HERMAP did not have a conference last year. I know you guys had a couple workshops, but you didn't have an actual conference. So tell us a little bit about the conference this year. What is the theme, and what are you looking to achieve through the conference this year?
Yeah. So last year, okay, so let me go back. Obviously, everyone knows about COVID, horrible time, so no reason to recap that.
Yeah,
So the
no, we
last
don't want to
conference,
relive that.
we don't want to relive it. So the last conference we had was in 2019. Another conference was scheduled for 2020. Obviously, like I said, COVID put up a damper on things. So last year we didn't want to, or we weren't ready to come back in full force. So our president at the time, Ambassador Joan Underwood, she said, you know what, let's do a condensed version of a conference, but how can we make it more practical? So last year we did an HR boot camp, and the purpose of the boot camp was to pull elements of a conference, but yes, to pull elements of a boot camp. And why was it called a boot camp? It was aimed at, as opposed to being more so of a talk shop, what conferences that sometimes can be, to be a practical session or set realm of sessions, in terms of people or practitioners coming away from the boot camp could use information and practical tools within their day-to-day working lives. So that was the boot camp last year. Now we're in 2024, a good 3, 4 years post the pandemic, and it is time for the conference to come back. So we're going to pull elements of historical conferences as well as elements from the boot camp to see how it is that we can make things more practical, more realistic, how people can use the tools that from the sessions that we're looking to have within the conference, and just look and see what are best practices internationally and what is going on within the region, and then of course what is going on here on the shores of Barbados. Put it all into a melting pot and have our annual conference, and it's scheduled for October. The save the date has already gone out. So yes, for those persons who are aware, currently as it stands, it's just the save the date. It may possibly change. It's the 17th to the 18th, and it is titled The Future Now, Human AI. And the reason for that title, I think, is self-explanatory. HR is all about people. AI is the biggest thing being talked about now in all aspects of life, not just work, not just human resources. So blending the two, how is it that the human element of things can work with artificial intelligence to make our working lives better? And we are hopeful, because we never know, we don't know how much or how much AI is going to impact the workforce and the workplace, but we're hopeful that the powers that be realize that AI should not replace the human element of work and the workplace, but how is it that we can marry the two to create synergies and greater efficiencies within the workplace? So that is the hope of the conference, to Like I said, make it practical, make it fun, make it agile, so that people, like I said, can, because there are going to be many different topics, not just related to AI, or not just related to the normal resources or organizational development stuff, but just make it, applicable to what is going on within the world when it comes to labor and the workplace and that type of stuff. So
Okay, I'm excited. I like those dates. I should be here.
That'd be great.
Yes, I'm wishing you every success with that. But yeah, I know that
Of course, I will rope you
things.
in any way that I can. So listen out for the call.
I'm listening. I'll be listening. No worries. Nicholas, tell us, what are you reading, watching, listening to right now that you think our audience would appreciate?
So what am I reading, watching, listening? LinkedIn. So I love to utilize LinkedIn because LinkedIn has a lot of good stuff to pull from. And LinkedIn has grown through the advent of COVID. But I think because people have realized the usefulness of it, I don't think that people have not necessarily tapped into the full utility of LinkedIn. Because LinkedIn has, I think, for better, pulled away. Social media can sometimes be people, like if you use Instagram for an example, people like to post like the best parts of their lives, the glossy aspects of their lives. But if you looked at LinkedIn, people are not afraid to say, I'm struggling at work, I've lost my job, these are the issues my organization are facing, these are the challenges I have faced within my workplace within the past, and this is how I've overcome, or I've opened a new business, can you support?
Correct.
And that is the beauty of LinkedIn. It doesn't just show you the beautiful things in terms of, oh, this person got a promotion, this person got a new job. People actually share the realities of their life, both personal and professional.
That's
And I
right.
love to just sometimes just sit down and scroll through LinkedIn. I have a friend and she says, you're on LinkedIn a lot. I was like, yeah, because there's a lot that you can go on there and read, whether, like I said, whether it be business journals or business articles. And like I said, just if you just read people's statuses, you can just see a lot in terms of what's going on in the world of work across the world.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. I'm a huge advocate for LinkedIn. I think anybody who knows me knows I live on LinkedIn all day, every day. That is where I am, but that's where most of my business is generated. And I share the good, the bad, and the ugly of HR, you know?
And
So,
that's what's needed. That is what's
yes,
needed.
definitely. So, I definitely agree with you. I think for us as Caribbean people, we do not utilize LinkedIn enough, and we really need to get better at doing that. I think, according to the stats, as much as I remember last year, I think Barbados is way down at the bottom. I think one of the Caribbean countries that utilizes LinkedIn the best is, I think, is Dominican Republic, followed by Jamaica and Trinidad.
That's on our brand. Yeah, Bajans generally, like I said, I know people that are LinkedIn, but to your point, I don't think that we both in Barbados and the region at large really don't utilize it to the
We
best
don't.
scope of its
We don't.
capability.
We definitely don't. I think one of the things too that I would love to see people do more of is updating their profile, because I headhunt on LinkedIn. I don't post jobs anywhere. I don't post jobs on LinkedIn. I headhunt. I don't post jobs on social media, but I recruit for HR a lot of times for organizations, and I just headhunt people on LinkedIn all day, every day. So, word to those of you in Barbados listening to this podcast today, do better on LinkedIn, please.
Correct,
And if you need some help, talk to Nicholas. Nicholas, tell us, what is the biggest misconception about HR that really bothers you that you want to set the record straight on right here, right now?
What is the biggest misconception? I think there are two, so I'll meld them together. One, HR is no longer a paper pusher job. So I know once upon a time, HR was highly administrative. It was called personnel management or personnel administration. That is no longer the function of any HR practitioner.
Absolutely not.
HR practitioners are here to be strategic advisors to your business. We're here to advise you in terms of how you can utilize people to best serve the needs of the business. And we're also here, and sometimes it to our detriment, to advise on how you can look out for the best interest of the business whilst looking out for the best interest of the employees. So that is what HR is here for. And I think the also the second biggest misconception is that HR is a function. So I always say, and I will say this to the day that I work in it, to the very end of the day working HR, if you are a people leader, if you oversee your team, if you are responsible for, managing people, supervising people, you have an HR function. So you are there to coach people, you are there to guide people, you're there to reprimand people when needed. That is not the job of your HR department. Your HR
No.
department guide you through how it's supposed to be done in the best way possible.
Correct.
When it comes to performance management and talent acquisition, et cetera, et cetera. But you, as a day-to-day person working with an employee or with a staff member or staff members, however big your team is, that is your day-to-day function. And I think all too often people do not understand, or leaders do not understand, that they have an HR function.
I love that. I love that. When you think about HR, I think so many people think there are so many things that HR should be doing, right? I think people also have a very old way of looking at HR, for lack of a better word, antiquated way of looking at HR, which is where that personnel piece comes in, where they think that we're just there to hire, fire, and file.
Correct.
And that's all they want us to do. And I think to our detriment, as you said, when we go into those organizations, we need to be asking questions about what people really want us to do. Because I find so many times HR people go into roles and they think it's one thing and it ends up just being that personnel, right? And then to your other point, I also think that we have to recognize that we are people experience architects. We are there to enhance the experience of the organization. And in order to do that, it means we have to partner, we have to coach, we have to mentor, but we also need to create that same mindset in the leadership of the organization so that they recognize we're not there to do their job for them. They are leading the team. We don't know the people that they are leading the way that they know them. We're just there to help them and guide them to create better experiences for their people and to be more heart-centric. Yeah. So I absolutely agree with you. Thank you so much for sharing that. Your time in the sound booth is over. You have survived. How do you
Yeah, me.
feel?
I feel as if I made it unscathed.
You did. You survived. No bruises, no cuts. There you are.
Nothing.
Tell the beautiful audience that is listening to this episode today where they can find you on social media if they want to learn more about you, more about Hermab and the conference, and they just want to be your friend. Where can they find you?
Sure. So I will point you into all of my professional profiles. So if you want to see the professional side of Nicholas, you can find me on LinkedIn at Nicholas Roberts. In terms of Hermab, you can find us at www.hermab.org.bb. All of our information is on there. You can find us on social media in terms of Hermab. So if you type in HRMAB Barbados, all of our socials should come up, whether it be our website, our Facebook, our LinkedIn, our Instagram. And we've been active. That once again has been the strategic pillar of ours in terms of being more active on social media as well as traditional media. So you want to type us in on Google. If it is that you can't remember all of the handles, all of our information should pop up there for you, and you should be directed to the various places to find us.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing, Nicholas. We wish you every success. I am looking forward to all of the wonderful things that are happening with Hermab. And I especially am looking forward to supporting the conference in October. So, with that being said, I wish you every success. And
Thank you.
door is always open. If you want to come back and promote the conference, feel free.
So yeah, it's a fun
Yes.
time. Yeah, fun
Fun
times ahead.
times indeed.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of HR Sound Off. I hope that you found it useful. You can find this and all of the episodes of HR Sound Off on all major podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, you name it, we're there. Remember, HR Sound Off is created by HR professionals for HR professionals. If you would like to share your story, then reach out to us and let us know. Make sure to hit the notification bell and subscribe to HR Sound Off on YouTube as well as Podbean. And we'll see you again when we next sound off.